By the mouth of his prophet, the Lord said in Jeremiah 18:7-10, At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil way, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Here we see the same law obtains as to nations that we have seen applied to cities and individuals. If they, having done evil, turn from the evil, then the Lord proposes to turn from the evil which he purposes doing to them. On the contrary, if they persist in disobedience, they will suffer the consequences, even to extermination. Hence, circumstances have ever varied God's dealings with men. Again, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Genesis 6:5-6. Now, if the Lord foreordained everything that comes to pass, he foreordained everything the antediluvians did, that is, those who lived before the flood. Why, then, should he grieve over their wickedness when every act was but the consummation of his own immutable and eternal decree? Really, it would seem like God grieving over his own folly. The Lord said that the children of Judah had built again the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind. Jeremiah 7:31. They have built also the high places of Baal, to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded them not, nor spake it, neither came it into my mind. Jeremiah 19:5. If God foreordained everything, he foreordained these things, for they came to pass. Yet he says he did not command them, nor speak them, neither came they into his mind. Will the advocates of the doctrine please to enlighten the world how God foreordained things which never entered his mind? But we will not press the argument further. If the doctrine be true, the whole theory of sin, accountability, rewards and punishments, in harmony with justice and mercy, is to us utterly incomprehensible. Every act of man is but carrying out the immutable purposes of Jehovah, and when he gives a man a law, he does it expressly that he may violate it so as to furnish a pretext for the punishment previously ordained for him. Take the sin of Adam as an example. God made him and placed him under law. It came to pass that he violated this law. He ate of the fruit whereof God commanded him not to eat. If God foreordained whatsoever comes to pass, then of course he foreordained that he should eat. Hence, Adam was in a strait between the law and the unchangeable ordinance or decree. It came to pass that he ate. Therefore God ordained that he should eat. The law said he should not eat. One or the other must be broken. He must eat and violate the law, or not eat and change God's unchangeable decree. This was impossible. Hence, to eat and violate the law was a necessity, and yet God would punish him for it. Surely, such a theory is at war with the Bible, with all reason and common sense, as well as a reproach upon the character of our Heavenly Father. But able and learned men have taught it, good and true men believe it. Therefore, we must treat it respectfully, yet examine it fairly, patiently, and thoroughly.